Hello and welcome to the Selfish Podcast, episode 20. And today's guest is not here, but I am still here and I'm going to share you a little dramatic, interesting and exciting turn of events that have made this guest unable to be available today. But on my side, I was unable to fit in the time to record the interview because some very peculiar things have happened in the last few days. So I can't wait to share that with you. And the guest is going to be on next week, Esme, who's also involved in some of the events that took place. So stay tuned, I'll explain that in a lot more. And like I said, this podcast goes out every Sunday, so I did not want to miss an episode, as I've been consistent. Yeah, and I want you guys to know content's always coming on a regular basis so you can tune in. And as this builds, we build a little community and people can interact and come on the live chat. Yeah, and I'm recording this now. Can you hear the sound of water? I'm sitting by a small river and the water's going over the pebbles. So it's a beautiful sound. It's so relaxing. So I'm actually hoping that you can hear it in the background so you could enjoy it as well. Yeah, and if you don't know, if you go on my Instagram, Luke_Greenheart, you'll find me and you'll see some of the behind the scenes. You'll see little pictures of where I am and the locations I've been in, so you can put a little visuals to what I'm sharing and what I talk about, and yeah, see a little bit more of my life, and you can connect through me on there as well. Yeah, so I'm sitting here now recording by the river to tell you what happened in the last few days, and I was trying to think, how far back do I go? Yeah, because stuff happened roughly 48 hours ago. But if I go to the day before that, because it's a story within itself, is we had met in the last couple of weeks a resident here of Spain. We didn't speak enough Spanish. He didn't speak enough English, but we managed to communicate a little. But he actually rescues dogs, and he had like 9 dogs in his house. But one of them was hit by a car and its legs are completely disabled and paralyzed, and it's walking around on just its front 2 legs. He had some wheels for it and some stories. But was really interested to go see his other dogs and to visit Coppo was his name. We went to visit him, to have a look at him and just give him some love. And I'm really interested in anatomy and the physical body. So it was really interesting to see his spine, to feel his muscles, to give him a little massage, a little relief, and see him have a little bit more function. You know, but it's really interesting, great story, which I'll share some more of because it's fascinating. And so then the next day we stayed nearby on this beautiful lake. And we just parked up. We was going the next day to the town to do our laundry, fill our gas bottles, and then drive on a couple of hours towards the east coast. But in the morning, we got a phone call. Yeah. And our cat had been found. Now, many of you don't know the story of Chestnut because it was such a long time ago he went missing, before I even done this podcast. So 1 year, 4 months ago, in November it was, we was parked up somewhere and both the boys, because there's 2 boys and there was 2 girls in the cat litter, both the boys were going through that sort of puberty stage around 11, 12 months. Now, we had personally chose to keep their balls and keep an eye on them until they go through that sort of puberty. Then we booked them in to have them neutered. And 2 days before that was due, he had managed to escape, run off and didn't come back. It was near the beach in the south of Spain, and we looked everywhere for him. We ended up staying in that one spot for 5 months as we went out looking for him every day, stuck posters up everywhere. Yeah, so to have a call only a couple of days ago that he's in the vet, they found him, he'd been brought in. So we were so excited, like we'd really sort of thought he's still alive, but he's just out there. You know, and it's so beautiful to be reconnected. We even still have his bowl because we were so like intent that one day, even if it's 5 years, 6 years, we'll find him. So we got him back. But the vets want, the reason he was in the vet is because he had been mostly at a restaurant nearby on the beach, and someone there had been feeding him every day and pretty much caring for him, and noticed that he was acting really sickly, crying, and then not going toilet. So they took him into the vet, and that's when they scanned the microchip and gave us a ring. But they said he needs surgery ASAP. They said he's gonna die. They said, we're not your vet, so you have to come and take him and take him to your vet. So we was like, right, we're 5 hours away 5-hour drive to go get him, and they want us there within hours, if not an hour, because he's dying. So we was like, oh man, this is a, we got ready, we jumped in the car, we just went, packed up as quick as we could and just started driving and said, we'll be there as quick as we can. They can also only release him into the custody of whoever's on the microchip. So I had to be there because he was under my name. So I had to be there to get, it's the only one that would let, they'd let him out to. So we drove there and like, we just didn't stop driving straight there, just get fuel and get there as quick as possible. Then when we was 10 minutes away from the vets, you know, this was 10 to 4 in the afternoon and they closed at 4 and we were 10 minutes away. So we was ringing them saying, we'll be there, don't leave, we'll be there at 4 on the dot. And then I got pulled over by the police. The police decided to stop us and I was like, oh, they're just going to check my driver's license. This will be quick and we'll be gone. Tried to explain to them, like, I'm on my way to the veterinary and I need to go quick. But again, because of translation issues, I wasn't able to express that clearly. And they had more intentions in going through and checking me a bit more thorough. So Danielle's on the phone. I couldn't talk to her because I was outside with the police. Didn't know what's going on, but now we know what I knew. I've missed the 4 o'clock timing because it was going on and on and on. Yeah, they fined us because Bodhi wasn't on a lead in the van. And Danielle's hip was a bit sore, so her leg was wiggling and up on the dash. And they said that you're going to get a €40 fine for that. Then while I'm out there, I paid for that, waiting a bit longer. Then they said, we want to do a drug test on you. And I was like, oh man, why do I need this? And I was like, I haven't taken any drugs. I'm not on drugs. What can we do? I just need to go. And they're like, no, you have to do this. I had to put a little thing in my mouth for like 5 minutes while they do a test. They put it in a little machine. And he said, you're on drugs. He goes, it's positive. He goes, you have to take another test. And I was like, I haven't been on drugs. And he says, you have THC in your system. And I was like, ah, the guy with the dog that I was around the other day, yeah, there was weed being smoked, but it's legal in Spain in the house. Yeah, so I think from being in that presence and being there caused my system to have it. And I was trying to see with the police what the thing was. And it's basically you either have it or you don't have it in your system. But there's no degree of how much that is. So then they made me do a second test, which took like 30 minutes of keeping this little thing in my mouth that's taking your saliva. And then they said, you get the results in 30 days. But for now, you have to pay a €500 fine and you can't drive for 24 hours. So I was like, oh, I really need to get the cat. He's not only so close, but he's going to die. I was like, I need to go get my cat. I need to get Chestnut. And we were there, and we just like went back to Danielle's, explaining to her, like, right, we've had a £500 fine, I can't drive. And she said, well, the vets moved him to another vet. They had a second vet that closes at 8, and they said he's gone there. So we got to 8 o'clock. Yeah, now it's getting to like, I don't know, 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. And I've also been told I can't drive. I said to the police, this van is, I'm sleeping in it. I said, I'm traveling in it. I can't, like, can you just point me to a parking spot somewhere? I said, I'll park up and I won't drive. And they agreed to that. They escorted me to a space right next to an Audi, but on like a piece of dirt track right outside. And they said, okay, you park here. And they put a clamp on my steering lock to my pedal. And they said, until you pay the fine, the clamp stays on. Because I didn't have £500 cash on me and it wasn't even in my account at the time. So I was like, I can't pay. I said, okay, I'll sort it by the next day. So the next morning, they gave me all the tickets and said, ring this number. So the next morning, I ring the number. And they don't speak any English. I can't translate enough Spanish. And I'm learning. I'm slowly learning more Spanish. And so that was causing an issue. I had to then contact anyone I knew who spoke English and Spanish so I could tell them the problem. They could ring the number and send them out. So after a little bit of time, this was sorted. We managed to get them to come out. And I forgot to say the main part of getting Chestnut. So that night, so I'm clamped down. Yeah, this is before I paid to get it off and they took it off the next morning. So the night before, I'm clamped up, parked outside Audi with Danielle. Chestnut's waiting and we've got 2 hours until the vet closed and they said they'll keep him 24 hours. And if we don't come, he's going to die overnight and we have to accept responsibility for that. He said, because they can't intervene unless we're there. So I even recorded this phone call as well. So I got a little recording. Made loads of videos of this little event. So we're going to make a nice little video. I'll stick it up on YouTube and Instagram soon. But I'm getting this out even sooner. So you're getting the first little bit of this story. And so we're sitting there with 2 hours to go. unable to drive, vehicles physically restrained from even getting there, even if we broke the sort of condition of saying we wouldn't move, we couldn't. And we happened to have a friend, Esme, who we've only met recently, bumped into her a year ago with some other friends, didn't get to talk, bumped into her again a couple weeks ago, and she's traveling with one of our other friends, Anthony. And she's a traveler on her own, really interesting story. And she's going to be my podcast guest. This was interesting. I had contacted her to be a guest. I wanted to hear her story. She traveled to Asia when she was in her early 20s, you know, on her own as a confident female, just going out there and exploring the world. And she shared her story and her passion for life. And she's still young. And now she's traveling in a camper van through Europe. And I just think it's be incredible to hear her story. And I'm really selfishly want to know more of her story. I want to know about her childhood, her life, and how she got to where she is now. So we rang her. She was about an hour and 15 away. And we said, can you come? And she's like, yes, of course I will come. She'd heard the story of Missing Chestnut and she's seen all the cats. And she came around for dinner a couple of weeks ago and like we really got on. So she was so excited to be able to help. She got nicknamed Emergency Esme. So that's her new nickname now, coming to our rescue. She drove as quick as she could. It's now like 6:15, 6:30. Yeah, 7 o'clock, and we're like, oh, we've got an hour, but we're only 10 minutes away. And I think about 7:15, 7:30, she turns up. Danielle jumps in the van. I stay with all the cats and Bodhi in our van. And she goes there with a little carry case, my passport, documents. Yeah, rings me up at the vet, says, I've got him. And it's actually him. We've seen him for the first time after a year and 4 months. He's screaming and crying for Danielle's attention, recognized her straight away. And she rang me and Bodhi waiting for him to come back. Yeah, so I thought I'll make up some food for later. Tried to do that. Gas ran out because we was meant to go get gas the day we went to look for him. So all them plans went. So I was like, I'll make a salad. So I made a salad, waited for her to return. And she came back. And it was amazing to see Chestnut again. It was almost like a day hadn't passed. So it was an amazing feeling. But he was really poorly. He was in a lot of pain. You could see his breath was hard. And as soon as we put a litter tray down, he's trying to go on it and just nothing is happening. He's not able to urinate. And this is why the vets wanted to give him surgery to open up the channels to just make that urine come out. Because if it stays in him, it's going to get bad quick and he would die. Yeah, but there is other remedies, especially if you're in a remote place. I'm not saying go against other people's veterinary skills. I am not a vet in any way. Disclaimer, it's not medical or veterinary advice. But I would tell you what we did because of the situation we're in. We made a tincture, and I did this before he got back because I already heard from the vets that he's not urinating. So for me, I'd look at it and go, right, there's two possible real causes of what could be going on here to stop a cat urinating. It could have a urinary tract infection, high acidity levels in the urethra and in that tract. So apple cider vinegar, dilute with water, 50-50 mix in a little tincture. Yeah, and trying to get 5 mil in his mouth every sort of 20 minutes. Yeah, that will help with the acidity in his body. That will also help break down little particles as it washes through, as it pushes through. So it was like, right, get that in him. And if you've ever used apple cider vinegar to clean, you'll see how it can take up. If you use a kettle and you see that sort of white stuff that builds up, like calcium or whatever it is, it builds up on pots and kettles and stuff. A bit of apple cider vinegar cleans it straight off, and you could be scrubbing it with water and a sponge and nothing happening at all. So when that goes through the body, it does something similar in cleaning and allowing things, other liquids, water alone can't move. And like I said, changes the acidity levels within the body as well. So we got him on a dose of that. The other issue, it could have had an injury, a fall, you know, and damaged his nervous system to the muscles or the bladder or somewhere in his gut that's causing it not to be able to act in the correct way and not perform normal functions. So we checked his posture. We looked for any limps, any sign that he was having an issue with his balance. Yeah, an obvious sign like he can't bend his legs or can't walk properly. He didn't show any big concerns in that way until he laid on his side. You could see he couldn't rest his leg. His back left leg couldn't rest properly. He didn't want to close it. So whether that's because of the pain inside the stomach and the bladder, or whether he's got a problem in the hip and the sacrum where the nerves to the bladder are connected. So what we did is we gave him a little massage, really gently, made sure we paid attention to if he's making any noises of discomfort. a real gentle massage around his belly in the direction of his gut. And like I said, if you don't know, you can look up the anatomy very quickly these days by looking at images on Google and look at a cat's anatomy of his stomach and its intestines, so you know roughly where they are and what direction they're going. And a really real gentle massage. And you could hear bubbles in there. He was full of gas. He was bloated. He let a lot of air out. Within moments, he's purring. He was really appreciative of the gentle touch and the relief inside of everything. And after about the second tincture of apple cider vinegar, he started to urinate. Yeah, little tiny bits at a time, and he struggled. Yeah, so I helped him, stabilised him, just put a tiny bit of pressure. And again, I wouldn't recommend this to anyone unless you know and have a confidence and certainty with what you're doing, because you can do more damage than good sometimes by being too invasive. So it really comes down to where your skill set is. But I had a cat that was paralyzed before, and the vet showed me how to wean her bladder, how to sort of milk the bladder to make her urinate, and the intestines to make her go for a poop, because she got paralyzed from the waist down from a dog fight, or from the anesthesia, should I say, after she had a small cut that needed stitches. The anesthesia paralyzed her, and then she died only a few days later. But after that time, I was weaning her, making her go toilet, from what the vet showed me, and that helped me in this case know exactly where to place my hands and my fingers to put just a little less of pressure, and instant relief, urine just flying out suddenly. You know, lots of farting as well with the gas. Yeah, I got videos and pictures, and you can see his belly is half the size within the first hour of us having him back. And he'd already urinated a little bit. So during that day, we carried on the process. Yeah, he was happy, he was purring. We're using our friend Esme's van. She stunk it out with all his urine. He went for a poo, it stunk. Again, he's been eating very different food to what he's getting now. I don't think he's eating grain-free and getting his herbs and everything else. You know, he's been on the streets at a restaurant eating scraps and dirty city rats and who knows what else. So very stinky toilet. Very stinky pee, but he was going. So this is brilliant. He's breathing better. You could see he's happy. He's purring. His claws are going. So it's amazing to see him get that amount of recovery so quickly as well. Yeah. So for that night, Danielle and Chestnut stayed in the van. I stayed in our van with all the other cats and Bodhi. And we waited till the next morning, and I had my phone ready just in case. I always turn my phone airplane and off at night. But this time I left it on in case anything happened or an emergency with Chestnut in the middle of the night, which there wasn't. Next day saw him, and he's going for a toilet now on his own, unassisted, but small amounts. We carried on more apple cider vinegar. Yeah, so it was like every 20 minutes until we got a full 5 mil in him. Sorry, we put a full 5 mil in him, then wait about 20 minutes and do it again. And we'll do that like two or three times a day, not every 20 minutes consistently throughout a day. It's like a couple of doses early in the day, 20-minute gap, a couple of little tinctures again. And then a couple of hours later, we repeat that process. We also fed him some high-protein salmon and chicken food. That's actually what Bodhi eats. He wouldn't eat the other food that the cats eat, but we sort of share what they both eat. But it's grain-free, really high protein content. Mix that with some water, some marshmallow tea that we made, and trying to get his liquids up, to get him as much liquid into his system as possible. Yeah, because he's urinating now, he just needs to create a flow and get that out. And if he has got any stones, maybe they've broken down, or if anything's built up or caused a blockage, might have broken down enough to get some movement, because he is urinating, so something's happened. He's not completely blocked. So it was more water to help push that through, to dilate all his vessels and everything, so everything opens a little more. Yeah, continued a few more massages. He's going for bigger wheeze. And yeah, he's doing so much better now. He's not crying at the touch. He was crying to be touched anywhere near his stomach or his legs right at the beginning. Like, it was so painful for him. You know, he was whimpering just laying there. He was tired. He was swollen. Today, we finally got him out to nature. We put him on a little harness and we took him for a walk with the other cats. Yeah, they've all been integrated. They've all met each other. They're all back to normal. Got a lovely video of him and Bodhi meeting for the first time. Bodhi recognized the smell on us instantly. He was so excited. He knew who it was straight away. And we introduced them, and it was like they'd never been apart from each other. They kissed. They smelled each other's butts. Yeah, they rubbed faces. They meowed, or should I say Chestnut meowed. Bodhi didn't meow. It was beautiful. Yeah, and then Chestnut was so excited to see Shiitake. Danielle was crying because of the noises and the excitement and just having everyone back in the van. How beautiful the feeling and the moment was. and we parked up in the city. All the cats had been in now for 48 hours, the longest in their life. Yeah, but they was happy. They was fine with it. They wasn't stressed. You know, they got a lot of space, a lot to do, and they got in a bit of extra rest. And then they got to meet their brother. And me and Danielle just spent last night. We just laid down with Bodhi in our arms, chestnut in our hands, played a beautiful song that we used to think was like Chestnut singing to Bodhi. I don't know the name of it right now, but it just reminded us, Chestnut's always had a soft spot for Bodhi and used to bump into him, chase him about and follow him everywhere. So we're sitting there with the both of them and it was so relaxing and it's so nice to be present in that moment and such a beautiful experience to just have. And like I said, it sounds like the last few days have been very chaotic, you know, in so many ways. And this is why I never got to record my podcast up until now. Even now, I've only got like an hour to edit this, make the YouTube video, upload it onto Anchor, edit it. So let me know if you enjoyed me just having a chat and sharing with you what happened over the last few days. Drop a comment. You can comment on Instagram, on the YouTube video. You can comment on your podcast platform. I'd love to hear from you and hear that you preferred this over no episode at all. To be introduced a little bit into my life, my story. So it's a little break of format from the podcast. But next Sunday, I will be back with Esme and her story. So you'll get to hear who Emergency Esme is, yeah, and a bit about her life, and we'll hear her story and journey. Yeah, so that's something to look forward to next week. But I really do hope you enjoyed this. There's so much more I could talk about and say. It's like just been an extraordinary few days. I did say to Daniel last night, we was outside just taking a breath. And the first thing that came to mind was just like, oh, this has just been such a lovely few days. Even though it was so crazy and tense at moments, but it was so exciting. I was listening to all this nice music while I was doing a 5-hour drive, just not even talking at points, just really in a bit of a dream state. Like, wow, we're going to get our cat that's been missing. Yeah, he's a little family member. We've had him since he was born. He was born in our van from our original rescue cat Mushrooms with all the other kittens. So we've got the mother and now her 4 kittens all reunited, all back in the van traveling, one big happy furry family. So I'm going to go see them now, edit this podcast and get it up online. So I really do hope you enjoyed this. I wanted to keep it to 30 minutes. So let's just see where we're at. 22 minutes. I actually was going for a 30-minute episode. So maybe I'll talk a bit more. So share with you what else has been going on. So I said, so now Chestnut is back with us, but he still has his balls. He's managed to survive a year and a half without anyone capturing him and taking his balls. He may have repopulated some of southern Spain, but he was booked in, so there was little. It's just the way it went. You know, so we've waiting to hear back from the same vet that done all the cats. They were a brilliant place and they're actually they rescue dogs. They got like 400 dogs, a couple of cats, but they rescue and rehome dogs. And they have the vets, they do a neutering service to spay or neuter your dog or cat, and all the money goes to the sort of sanctuary itself in helping them rescue more animals, feed the animals they do have. So it's really nice to be able to go to somewhere like that for the service done by professional vets. The very first time we went there, the vet was actually really high paid vet who comes in and trains. He uses that place to train other vets how to do the surgery. He does it for free and volunteers, but he's training vets there while helping someone with their animal, while that funds the animals being rescued and reshelled. And there's an abundance of animals in shelters. So if you're looking for a furry friend or companion, I really recommend going and checking out a few different shelters. See how you feel for the place, how you feel for the owners, how you feel for the sort of way the animals are kept. And if it's really good, you can show your support to them by purchasing a dog, you know, normally at a cheaper rate. Yeah, but you're rescuing a dog that's just going to be growing up in a shelter rather than buying an expensive breed. I really don't like in Spain, you get to see the dogs in the shops. They're in like little glass boxes. And you just see these little puppies getting separated and then one by one. Like, just does not look pleasant, you know. It's just not, it does not seem a pleasant way for these animals to live, even at the beginning stages of their life. So yeah, I really do recommend trying shelters or, you know, if you're looking for somewhere you can adopt. Saw a little on Poor Salvation today. I saw they just put up a little dog that's been rescued. That's a tripod with 3 legs. It was born that way and he's looking for a little home at the moment. So that was really interesting. If you're anywhere near Chicago, yeah, you might be interested in finding that. You go Poor Salvation on Instagram. Check out them. They was on the podcast, one of the earlier episodes. Beautiful man who dedicates his time to helping animals that live on the streets, as well as helping the homeless as well. But a big part is making sure the animals have their care. And it's like, to me, I could have looked at this in the past and been like, oh, but the people need care. And it's like, but once you really have felt, and most people have, is the care that your animal gives and having that support structure of love with you and companionship, you know, both actually being there for each other, and it's keeping them strong. So then one's on the street, they're rescuing an animal, but the animal's rescuing them. And we shared stories on this podcast, and he said the amount of people that were abusing substances, drinking drugs, but they found a stray cat, mainly. More cats than dogs, by the way. You hear that in the podcast as well. But they would find a stray cat or a dog. It'd become their friend. It would travel with them. It'd live on the streets with them. And they stopped abusing themselves with drugs and alcohol because they had love. They had companionship. They had some form of responsibility other than experiencing a painful life. So he made it his mission to really try and help them people keep their animals, but keep the animals in a better condition by taking them to the vet, checking, making sure they've got food. Yeah, so the homeless person can use the money that he's earned through whatever means to buy himself food and not have to worry about his animal. Anyone that's had a parent, if you're listening, you've had a parent. If you've had children, I said often you'll go without for your children to have something. And many people are the same with their animals. They love them, they're attached to them, the animals love them. And they'll go without themselves to make sure that that animal has a better quality of life. So if it means going without food for a day so the animal can eat, many will make that choice. You know, so it's really great to hear his story and what he does. So go check out that episode if that interests you, or find him on at Poor Salvation on Instagram. They have a website as well. I think it's just poorsalvation.com. But check out what they're doing. I really recommend following for some inspiration and just shining a light and support to them to wherever you are in the world. I think it's so amazing that we can encourage and be involved now with so many things that we can genuinely be passionate about. So many things we can in an instant find that's beautiful. Yeah, it's the exact opposite. You can instantly find something that's ugly, you know, that really gets to you. But I think it's so important to see as much things that give you passion, as much things that give you desire, excitement, seeing other people of service, whatever that is, without judgment, you know, just pure eyes of compassion and just looking at them, not up to them, not down to them, but just looking at them and just being like, that's someone doing something beautiful. Yeah, and finding more of them. Find what beauty is to you. Yeah, for you it might be something totally different. Like for me, it's either you're some form of serving the environment, some form of serving animals, or some form of serving sort of humanity and the human species. And sometimes it's serving all three in some way. I think everyone is driven to one of them. So I really recommend, if you can't answer right now, where do you want to serve? What gets you excited when you really think about it? When you sit down and just take a few breaths and you think, do you know what gets me excited? Would I be excited if I was spending the rest of my time serving animals? By serving is offering opportunity. You're making a difference, making a change, but offering yourself. Where do you give? Would you feel excited if it was giving in to animals in some way? Or is it plants? Is it the environment? Is it the ocean? Is it the earth? Yeah, do you look at it and you get driven and you're just like, oh, if I was spending all my time serving that, giving to that, I'd be excited to get up? Or is it humans and human welfare, human interaction, the beautiful sides of life and how people are on this earth? Do you think if you're to spend all your time and energy every day giving, serving in that area, that you would be excited if that was the only thing you had to do? You didn't have to think about income, wage, where you're going to live. It's just like every day you wake up and do that, you're fed and you have shelter. Would any one of them three really drive you? Or something that's a bit of a mixture of them three? Or two of them? But really think about it. Sit there, especially if you're feeling a little bit like you just got this fire within, but you don't know where it should go. You know, and it's just like you get excited, then you crash because you don't know where that fuel is going. The fuel and the excitement, you know, the inspiration of things that you see and feel, the amount of information we're getting, you get all this excitement because you've got a spark being lit. Then you see motivational things and then you get some motivation. If you haven't got a clear direction to where you want to put that energy, it can quickly get diffused and be really unsatisfactory. Yeah? And then it gets harder to climb back up and build that excitement, build that inspiration again each time, because you feel like you're going to be let down by the expectation because you're not sure what your passion is. You're not sure what your service is. You're not sure where you can give. But the beautiful thing is, That's what you want. You want to serve. You want to give. And I can only talk from personal experience. It's what's brought beauty to my life. Who am I to know what you really want? But for me, it's to serve. It's to give with no conditions, no expectations. The unconditional love in abundance to you and the faith to follow that path wherever it goes. Thank you so much for listening to the slightly different episode of the Selfish Podcast. Like I said, normal episode back next week, Sunday, 3 p.m. EST. That's 12 noon PST, 8 p.m. GMT, and the brand new one, 6 a.m. AEST on the Monday morning in Australia. Yeah, so have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for listening. Truly appreciate it. And I'll speak to you soon. Don't forget to check out my website, lukegreenheart.com. Yeah, you can find my links to Patreon and different ways you can support me, clothing, merchandise at greenheartstore.com. You can follow me to see behind the scenes and lifestyle and see the animals I'm talking about on my Instagram at luke_greenheart. And if you ever use Spotify Green Room at Greenheart, where you can have a live discussion if I'm online at that time. All right, I will speak to you soon. Thanks so much for being here and listening. Truly have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for being here and listening to The Selfish Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Greenheart, and I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. Just search Luke Greenheart on YouTube. You'll find me. Check out my website, lukegreenheart.com. Have an amazing day and stay tuned for more episodes. I'll be interviewing guests on their path of self-development, their path to self, getting to know them in much more intimacy, much more depth, sharing and connecting with all so we can have a much more blissful, joyful, and productive life together. All right, much love. Have a great day.